Good morning. Let's have a word of prayer, please. So, Lord, as we look into your scripture today, help us to see the things that we need to. Help us to be able to live during these times. I ask today that you help us to focus upon the things that you would want us to be doing. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first thing you're going to notice is that my voice doesn't sound like me. So I injured my voice down in Arizona, as best as I can figure. I was doing all these plant walks down there, and oftentimes 50 people would show up or something like that. So I'm out there talking as loud as I can. So pretty soon I ended up with this raspy thing here. So hopefully it's gonna heal up. Anyways, that's why that is. I've been living off of these things ever since. So in fact, I was thinking, maybe I just shouldn't say anything. I was thinking last week, maybe I shouldn't say anything Saturday at all. So I told Kit that, maybe I shouldn't say anything at all on Saturday. And she says, well, maybe you should do that for the whole week. Okay. The title of the sermon is this, and it's not really a sermon. I want you to understand that. It's not a sermon. It's not a PowerPoint. It's none of those kinds of things. It's just really me talking to you, because we've all been through a lot. And that's kind of what I want to share with you today, is just some ways that I've been trying's the word, to be able to deal with all that, because we do. We all have a lot to deal with. So the name of the message is, How Should We Then Live? Now, this is the title of a book by Francis Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer wrote this back in the 60s or 70s, during a tumultuous time as well. In fact, reality, I can't hardly remember a time it isn't tumultuous anymore. But he wrote that book in response to what was taking place in the world at that time, this kind of post-Christian era that was coming around. How should we then live? And so basically that's kind of what I've been looking at, is based upon all that's taking place, and there's a lot, you know that. You know, we got this worldwide thing that we're taking care of, and then you got all your own daily problems, and then usually something else comes up along the line as well. You know, I can tell you a few. The reality is this, how should we then live? And I'm simply going to share a few verses with you today that I've been looking at and trying to lean on and trying to have them help me. So I've been doing this through the book of Psalms. And just a few of them, actually. I'm not getting too far. I'm just looking at a few verses here and there to help me to go along. So the first one is in Psalm 1, and you're familiar with Psalm 1. It talks about the man who is blessed. He's righteous. He's like that well-watered tree, and all that he does is prospers. That's verse 1. You don't need to go there if you don't want to. I'm going to jump around a little bit, go back to it and take a good look at it, because it's a really neat verse, really nice psalm. The other things I notice as I've been going through the Psalms, and I haven't got too far, about 20 so far, is that there is this contrast. There is the righteous man who seeks to do the Lord's will, seeks it. And then there's the other one, the evil ones who don't. And it's this contrast between either or, okay? So the one that is seeking it, he is righteous, he is blessed, he prospers, all these things. The Lord is interesting how he's described in the verses. He's described as a refuge, stronghold, sustainer, deliverer, high tower, fortress, salvation, on and on and on and on. And those are a beautiful way to think about our invisible God. He's a huge fortress, a high tower, a shield, all these kinds of things. We're dealing with an unknown enemy or unseen enemy, but yet we have an unseen God who literally is everywhere, and he acts as our fortress, our stronghold, and all these things. I love that. David's cry in Psalm 12 starts out this way. It says, help. In fact, some versions say, help, exclamation point. Have you said that recently? Oh, yeah. Help us, God. Help us. help me. That is a cry that I'm sure is worldwide right now. So I want to do this. Take a little look at Psalm 8. This is going to be our little study verse. We'll look through the whole thing. I'm going to go quick. Psalm 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We can sing that, right? How majestic is your name in all the earth. Keep his majesty up front. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Think about that. 6-7 billion of us. What is man that he is mindful of us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then he creates us who are to be the ones that are the stewards to be in charge. In fact, that's what goes on to say. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower. Listen to this. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. That's Jesus they're talking about. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. This is us that he's talking about. We have been put in charge to be stewards of this planet. That's an amazing thing to think about. I don't know that I always feel like I'm the one that's supposed to be doing all that. Nonetheless, we are. And it gives us some things to think about as far as how we do that. All the flocks and herds, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the flesh of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Pretty amazing, I think. So I guess what I've been trying to do, and again, let me be real clear with you on that one. I'm not up here today as some preacher to preach at you. I'm not here to deliver the greatest message in the world. I'm sharing what's on my heart. I'm sharing with you the struggles I've been dealing with as I try to put these things all into perspective. All right, so with that in mind, and here's the other thing. If you start in Luke chapter 21, also in Mark, and lots of other places, what you'll notice is lots of prophecy. We are living in the end days. In fact, we may be living in the end of the end days. So these things that are taking place to us should not be a surprise. Listen to this. Here it is, Luke chapter 21 through 9 through 11. And what he talks about is the fact that all these things are taking place, that we are to be watchful over all those things that are going on. In fact, let me find it here for you. This is Jesus' words. He's talking to his disciples. He's letting them know, here's what you need to be aware of. Not just them, but us as well, every generation coming up. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. Pestilences, famines, all these kinds of things. We are to keep our eyes on that. Where are we in these last days? We need to be on top of that, not be surprised that these things are happening. Rather, how should we then live? Okay? All right. All right, so here's some New Testament applications for you. Like I said, I'm running through it pretty quick. 1 Timothy 2, 2 and 3 says this, live peaceful and quiet lives when possible. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So what do we learn? We learn that we are to live quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and holiness. And why? Because it's good, okay? and it pleases God our Savior. And he wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Sometimes I see that in us. I don't know. I don't always feel like a worthy vessel. You know, I try hard, but sometimes I just blow it big time, you know? And that's the way that it is. It's not good, but it reminds us of what we need to go back and do. Okay, here's one that's very familiar to you. Galatians 5, 22 through 25, the fruits of the Spirit. Perhaps God's telling you to think about that in respect to how should we then live. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, that's not easy to do all the time. It isn't. It just isn't. I know. I agree. However, nonetheless, if we can do that in those things, not only are we blessed by that, God's blessed that, but someone else may in turn be blessed by that as well. And that's important. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Seems like we have to do that over and over sometimes. The old flesh creeps back in. You know, the things that held us back, we get away from, seems like we have to go back to them again. So it says this, that we are to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Lay it again at the cross. We know what he did for us. And so we lay that back there and start again. Because he promises to renew, to rebuild, to continue us on. I like that. It's like a remodel, you know. Takes out the old stuff, puts in the new stuff. I remember hearing a story one time about how this fella had a house and a fella came in to take care of it. And he kept going through all the rooms and all the rooms. Well, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, that needs to be done. Finally got to a back room and he says, I need to go in there too. They want him to go into that room. I got to clean the whole house. I got to clean the whole house. All right? And then this. Since we live by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, our friend, the wonderful counselor, then we are to keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Wait up. Hold on. Don't go the other way. Do the right steps with him. Not always easy. But if we do that, then are we not helping to deal with, for ourselves, for others, the witness to God, how should we then live? Okay? Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. He finishes out that way. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business. Work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of others, so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. So even depending upon what's going on, we are still called to do the same thing. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like to grow up during the World War II era, what that been like, that 4 or 5 years, and to have been either a soldier or a housewife at home or whatever that was. That was a climactic time that we can't even begin to imagine what that was like. So there's always something that comes along there, and the same call to us is the same. How are you going to live through it? Live for me through it. You know, I do a lot of history. I read a lot of history about our area. And I was discovered to find that the Indian Wars during the 1850s here in the Rogue Valley were terrible. Terrible times for pioneers, terrible time for Indians. It was awful. And I imagined a little bit what it must have been like to be a pioneer living in Jackson County in the 1850s. You were fearful. Even if you were a native, you were fearful about the things that took place. So there's always some climatic thing that's taking place that we need to deal with. Oh, okay. Also in Thessalonians 5:16. I'm a little out of practice. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Three things, not necessarily easy things, but three things. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, yeah, that might work, right? That's what he says. I got an anxious heart, Lord. So who's the one's going to calm the anxious heart? Am I going to do it? Not very well. The Holy Spirit does. The indweller. The good counselor. All right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Every situation. I don't know if you found this for yourself or not. And how do I say this carefully? I don't want you to look at me like, oh, he's a prayer warrior. I'm not. And that's usually for me, it's like, help, you know? But if we can develop this ongoing conversation all the time, what benefit to that will that be to us? We get to know him better, takes our eyes off all the stuff that's taking place, helps us to see that. Do you realize this? The things of heaven are already taking place. God, who is eternal, sees one thing from one thing to the other. This stuff that we're going through, he talks about it. You know, it's minor. It's yes, you have difficulties, but it compares nothing to what's before you. And God already sees us there. Absolutely amazing. All right, and then give thanks in all circumstances. How do we give thanks when there's not anything to give thanks about? Maybe we have to give it thanks to the fact of what will be. Maybe that's the best we can do at the moment, is give thanks to what is going to be there. You know, we face difficult times. There's some tragedy every day. How can we be thankful in that? We can be thankful in the sense that this does not last. That a great eternity beyond our imagination, it's just there at the cusp, and it's waiting for us, so we hold on. And what does it say in verse 7? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard, like that shield, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And here it is. Here's the clincher for me. This is the one that I've been working on for weeks now. I've been taking some medicine, I've been a little sleep deprived, and so I'm finding my short-term memory is like, where to go? So I'm always working on this one. Some days I do pretty good, some days I don't. But just think about this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. It's a challenge. I'll be the first to say it. It is a challenge. It really is. But when we do it, we get a glimpse. We get a little peace. And that's the wonderful part about it. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I just wanted to share a little bit with you today, but I've been humbled the last few months. And I'm sure probably a lot of others are feeling that way too. Well, you know what? That's a pretty good thing, actually. You know? Yeah, we all could eat a little more humble pie, that's for sure. Put this into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So we're going to close in prayer. This is Father's Day. James 1:17 talks about the Father of lights. Amazing thing to think about. In this old dark world, he is the Father of lights. Things that we can think about. I love the fact that he is the Ancient of Days. all kinds of things. And so, yes, this is Father's Day, but this is also the Father's Day, like every day. Lord Jesus, as we think about your words today, in our own application, in our own ways of dealing with things, Lord, help us to take these words, plus many, many, many other words. We can do a whole study on all kinds of things that may help us to live in these times, to live as you would ask us to live. Help us, Lord, to ask forgiveness quickly. Ask for things to help us to be better, to do for you, Lord. Help us to not find anything within ourselves that is not what you would want. Help us to be ambassadors, worthy vessels. Yep, we're clay, we're broken, busted up, Lord. It's you who has to put us back together. You're the one that can restore us. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just thank you and ask that you would bless each and every one of us as we head out today, and help us to find ways through all that and all your words, Lord, to handle and deal with in your name and through your counselor, through the mighty God, that in some way we can't even begin to imagine it, how it might not only make a difference for us, but a difference for somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen.